The Philip Carnegie Medal is the world's oldest and most prestigious award for children's literature. Past winners include many of the best-known and most-loved children's authors of the last 9 decades. And, as regular listeners to Read On will know, competition this year was particularly stiff. However, there could only be one winner, and the announcement was made at an online ceremony on Wednesday. And the winner of the 2021 Philip Carnegie Medal is Jason Reynolds for Look Both Ways. Jason, many congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So for the one or two people who might not yet have picked up Look Both Ways, could you give us a very quick overview?
Sure. Look Both Ways is a collection of stories that makes one whole story about a bunch of kids who go to the same school and the independent and individual journeys that they all take on their different walks home.
They might all attend the same school, but they've got very different backgrounds and home lives. And part of the title, Look Both Ways, is not just telling them to watch out for themselves, but also to see things from different points of view.
Right. You know, it's interesting, right? Because I think young people sit next to each other every day. I think teachers sort of look in their classrooms and they see all these kids who are side by side and sharing lunch tables and sharing food and sharing lockers. But the truth is that every kid has a very separate journey. And that in order for us to really appreciate the beauty of our children, we have to understand that each of them actually, as much as they are the same, they are different. And if we could teach them this, that like to look both ways, to say that there are many different perspectives, there are many different lives, there are many different lives within each and every one of you, then I think we get a better grasp, a truer grasp on the world.
And we certainly get that in those 15 unsupervised minutes where children are just themselves. They're not conforming to any teacher or parent's view of what they should be.
Exactly, right? Like when we think of, especially when it comes to children's stories, we think of school or we think of home. But the truth is, there is a liminal space, right? There's actually this strange sort of buffering space of freedom where there are no adults, where you're just on a journey, you're on an adventure. And that's where you really discover who you are. That's where you discover the world you actually live in. That's where you discover who your friends are, what your fears are, what your dreams are, right? Like that particular 15-minute window where the sort of down-pressing hand of adults or the watchful eye of neighbors really aren't there to sort of guide you or get in the way of your childlike expression.
The judges cited their reason for choosing the book because it is an innocent tale that covers hard-hitting issues, including bullying, homophobia, and bereavement, which are not always things that are covered in children's books, but are actually part of everyday life for an awful lot of kids.
Absolutely. And my job isn't to teach them or give them any answers. My job is simply to present them with questions. You know, imagine a world where we teach young people to wrestle with the world around them. We teach them to wrestle with right and wrong, right? Instead of this binary, interesting, bifurcated way that's oftentimes reductive when it comes to our everyday lives. What if we actually presented information and we framed it in a way that was meant for them, and then we allowed them the space to wrestle with it so that I don't have to say, here is the right answer. Instead, I say, here is the situation. Now you wrestle. Right. You tap into your empathy here. I've set up guideposts, but I don't want to give it all away because that's not actually my job. My job is to bear witness to your lives and to respect you enough to allow you to do a little bit of that work on your own.
And I know that you're the U.S. ambassador for children's literacy. And we've discussed before, you were a late reader yourself, but actually you really do provide a role model for any children who might be hesitant about their own literacy, about expressing their own thoughts, because it hasn't come easy to you and it didn't come the normal way of maybe studying books at school. For you, it came through music.
For me, it came through music, absolutely. I mean, I was a young person who, it's not that I didn't want to read or that I couldn't read, it's that I didn't think reading was for me. I didn't think I had a place in it because I'd never seen my face in it. It's that simple, right? And so because of that, I gravitated toward music. Rap music was big in my time, and as I was coming up, that was the phenomenon. It still is, obviously, a global phenomenon. But when I was growing up, it was a new phenomenon, and I loved it. I didn't want to be a rapper, though. I wanted to just read the lyrics. That's what introduced me to poetry, and from there, I realized that language had power.
It's second time lucky for you with the Philip Carnegie Medal. You were shortlisted for Long Way Down in 2019. What does winning this particular literary award mean to you?
It means a lot of things. You know, I think ultimately the Carnegie is a big deal for me because it lets me know that, like, perhaps, just maybe, I've written some universal stories, right? And it lets me know that young people gravitate toward this. But I have to be honest with you. There was a chip on my shoulder. And this award also means something else for me. Sometimes, as an American writer who's so grateful to be published over there. But, you know, there were some hard times in the beginning of that process because people would always say that my stories were too American. Right? Like that was a thing. But I've traveled the world with these stories, and I know that young people from every culture, every background, from all over the world, laugh at the same jokes. That there are these intersections and these connections that they all understand. That there's a youth culture that actually transcends any actual nationality. And I've been arguing this for a very long time. And so what does the Carnegie mean for me? More than anything, it means that actually my stories aren't American stories. They're human stories. They're about young people. They're not too American. And this proves that they're not too American because y'all chose it as the winner.
And certainly that universality is caught in the subject matter, because any child who is fortunate enough to be able to go to school has that 15-minute walk home. One thing that is unique to the Carnegie Medal winner is that you get a copy of your book in Braille. Have you got plans for that?
You know what? I'm going to put it in my archive. The reason why that's important to me, though, is because I actually am the grandson of a blind man, and he is no longer alive. I wish he were here so that he could read Look Both Ways now that it's going to be in Braille, you know. But I grew up with a blind man, and so I'm very familiar with sight loss and with blindness and with Braille and with sort of just being in community with people who cannot see. And so this is actually really emotional for me to know that that is a part of this victory, is that book in Braille. It means the world to me. And it's also bittersweet because my grandfather was my father's father. And so what I would do is give this book to my father, but unfortunately he's no longer alive either. And so I'll keep it for myself and tuck it away.
Well, Jason Reynolds, Philip Carnegie Medal winning author of Look Both Ways, many congratulations on your success, and I look forward to inviting you back onto the show in years to come with stories to come.
I appreciate it, and good to talk to you.
Look Both Ways by Jason Reynolds is available in print, ebook, and audio wherever you buy your books.